Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, we'll read the entire chapter together. And with God's help, we want to look at verse 13 and 14 for our text, but also in conjunction with Lord's Day 38. And we can find that in the top of page 39 in the back of our Psalter. Let us hear now the word of God as it comes to us. Isaiah 58, God's warnings and exhortation to his people. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in a day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as a morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fast thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. And then our text. If thou shalt turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Thus far the reading of God's word. For the mouth of the Lord hath indeed spoken it. In the back of our Psalter, top of page 39, we have Lord's Day 38 with one question and answer. Question 103, what does God require in the fourth commandment? Answer, first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, the day of rest, diligently attend the church of God to learn God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian alms. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me by his Holy Spirit, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Thus far. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider where our instructor has taken us these past few weeks, through the entire first section of the law, and he has a desired end. The first three Lord's days of the Ten Commandments have a desired end. They end up at the Sabbath. We went from the exclusive worship of God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the Lord demands of us, we are to have no other gods before him. No idol gods of the nations, and no idol gods of our own imagination. And the narrow way of worship is regulative principle. There's to be no images. And then we're not to take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. But we are to use his name, are we not? Already this morning, we have used that holy name of God. We have called upon his name in fear and trembling, and yet with much assurance. And now we come to the Sabbath day. Beloved, eternal light has dawned upon the Sabbath day, this first day of the week. Not just a day that we keep, but to be sure, it's an emblem of eternal rest, is it not? It's a day that the Lord hath made. It is the day of the empty tomb. We read all the way back in Exodus about when God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. And basically, blood means the death of that victim, although Christ was no victim. He offered himself up as a Lamb of God. But the tomb is empty, and thus light from heaven shines upon the Sabbath day. And yet, if we speak about the Sabbath day, if we would dare to use that terminology, not just the Lord's day, but the Sabbath, and Sabbath means rest. Much of the organized church today neglects the Sabbath. They are loath to keep the Sabbath day. Many of them have only a morning service and no evening service. And many of them make that day a family day, they're told. They're told off the pulpit, it's a family day, it's a time you spend with your family. That's true. It's a time we spend with our family and God's family and God's house of prayer. We live in a day and age of great apostasy. And I'm convinced that one of the first signs of apostasy, whether in a church or a family or an individual, is neglecting the Christian Sabbath day. To neglect the Sabbath, as we'll get into, is to neglect God's means of grace. God bestows grace upon his people as we gather together to worship him, and in particular on the Sabbath to hear the word of God. And when we neglect the Sabbath day, when we neglect to come under the official proclamation of the gospel, I'll be blunt. It means death for the church. It means death for the family. It means death for the individual. Because outside of God is death. We desperately need to keep the holy day. That's our text, the holy day. First of all, by a covenantal promise. Second, by delighting in Jehovah. And third, by resting in Christ. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the fourth commandment tells us. And first of all, it says, it speaks about the ministry of the gospel and the schools. In our text, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, in other words, turn away from doing thy pleasure. Turn away thy foot from doing what we delight to do. Speaking our own words, doing our own things, but calling the Sabbath a delight. Do we do that? Do you children call the Sabbath a delight? Or do you have to be dragged to church? I think about the Sabbath day. Of all the days, the week, the best. We'll sing about that later. It's the emblem of eternal rest. We ought to, of all the days of the week, rise up early and be ready to gather together with the Lord's people. It means that we pay attention in church. It means that we pray before we come. It means that we would pay attention and that ask the Holy Spirit to apply His word to our hearts. That's why our instructor does not give us a legalistic list of do's and don'ts. He impresses upon us the validity of a New Testament Sabbath day. He's insisting upon gospel ministry and that the schools be maintained. And that means the focus is not on the Sabbath day. The focus is on the one that gave us the day. The one that gave us the day of resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ. The focus of the Sabbath day is not whether we keep it with a list of do's or don'ts. It's that we come into the presence of our Savior. Calling the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord. You know what holy means, don't you? Holy means to be separate. We are to be separate from all the peoples of the earth. We are to separate these hours in church, in this day, to be separate from all the days of the week. It is a special day. It's a day that God has given us. Maybe I can illustrate this a bit, how it ought to be a delight to us. After you men or women have had a hard day at work, whether on the farm, whether you're in your business, and you come home and you're exhausted, and you have your evening meal, you have your devotions, and your head hits the pillow. It's called rest. Rest or sleep is sweet. It's God's gift to us. The body desperately needs rest. And no one has to drag us to the bedroom to lay a weary head down. All children have that, don't they? They have to be dragged to bed when they're young. But for us that have labored, we realize that rest is delightful. That's what the Sabbath is to be for us. We have 6 days of being out in the world, and the Sabbath is an oasis. It's where we can come apart from the world, of all the world's ideas and false ideas, and come together. The Sabbath is a means of grace. And I've said it before, but it's not a time for entertainment, is it? Somehow, the modern day church thinks that they can attract more people to come if they have worldly entertainment. And their preaching gets narrower and narrower. And there's only a plastic podium that can be removed for drama. We are to hear God's word. That's what the Sabbath is all about. To hear the word of the Lord. You remember, don't you? All the way in Eden. What did Adam and Eve hear? They heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day. God came to them. Oh yes, it's talking about after they sinned. But they heard the voice of the Lord. Adam heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day, in the beginning of the day. God spoke to his people. And when God speaks, basically, it's not rebuke. Oh, there's times that he rebukes us, as we read in Isaiah. But we speak to someone that we love. He has covenantal fellowship with his people. He gathers us as a father gathers his children round about him, and he speaks unto us, my son and my daughter. So the Lord gave the law to Adam. The Lord spoke directly to Adam, particularly of all the trees of the garden he may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and evil they may not eat of it. That was part of Adam's duty. He was to take God's word and speak it unto his wife. He's to speak to her about the ways of the Lord. He's to teach his wife and all future seed that God has given to them covenantally. Adam was the Lord's prophet. At times, God speaks directly to his people, as he did with Moses. But for the most part, he speaks to his people through prophets. And right away, we have the Christian home. And in his first Christian home, to obey the voice of the Lord was life. And no, there is not a promise that if Adam continued in his own merits, he would inherit eternal life. He already had life. The promise was, if he disobeyed the Lord, he would know what death was. A threefold death, spiritual and physical and eternal. And so our instructor presses upon us his very same duty. He starts out this Lord's Day with that the ministry of the gospel and the schools should be maintained. And certainly that's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. These words which I command thee shall be in thine heart. God is speaking to Israel through Moses. He says, these words, Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The duty of a covenant head of a home is daily to teach his children. That duty lies square on the shoulders of the husband and father. It's not relegated to the church. It's not relegated to the Christian school. It's the father's duty to teach his children. To use opportunities daily out of nature to show his children how good God is to them. But it's also the duty of the church to maintain the ministry of the gospel and the schools. To be sure, it's to maintain seminaries, it's to maintain Christian schools. It's what we read about in our form for baptism. And hear the language there. Do you promise and intend to instruct these children? Not your child, but these children. And cause them to be instructed? It's a double-edged sword. It is to instruct them and cause them to be instructed, which means we give them over to the church. And the church has a covenantal responsibility for catechism classes. Not just cutesy Bible story, but to teach the children sound doctrine. It's the duty, beloved, as elders and pastors, to guard the pulpit. It is our duty as men to make sure the people that God has entrusted to us hear the true gospel. And to what intent is this? By delighting in Jehovah. 103b, that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, to publicly call upon the name of the Lord. That I, especially on the Sabbath, speaking to us personally, that I, on the Sabbath day, diligently frequent the church of God. And I think what goes on in a lot of churches today, not just here, but others as well, it seems like young people misuse confession of faith. It's not that they might be involved in the church as a full member, as a full communicant member, but to use it as an exit to find their way outside the church that they were born and raised in. This ought not to be. It happens all over. When young people make confession of faith, they ought to be pressed upon their souls. How are you going to serve this church? I hear too many people ask the question, what is this church going to do for me? They have it all wrong. We have misery, deliverance, and gratitude. How am I going to serve the church in which I made confession of faith in? So the Sabbath was central to Jehovah's covenant. The Sabbath is like the hub of a wheel. Our forefathers used to have that. Everything revolved around the church. All of life's activities was focused around the Sabbath day and the church. Today it's just different. We get through the week and we have the weekend and it's recreation. Not recreation, but recreation. And somehow the Sabbath day gets in the way of recreation. And so the Sabbath is desecrated. But God has given the Sabbath to us as a sign. We have baptism and the Lord's Supper as a sign and a seal. The Sabbath is a sign. Exodus 31:13. Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am Jehovah that doth sanctify you. That ye may know that I am Jehovah. And I hear an echo from the Old Testament, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Could it be the reason? The reason we have so many people in our nation, church people, that jump on this homosexual bandwagon supporting same-sex marriage is because they don't keep the Sabbath. And they don't hear the Word of God. They don't hear it officially proclaimed. And they know not which way to turn. And so many churches today jump on that same bandwagon. And we have to embrace all these people in loving kindness. The Sabbath is a sign, beloved, that you and I might know that Jehovah is the one that sanctifies us. Same word for the holy day. God has set us apart. Children, mark it well. God has placed a mark on your forehead. Think about what your family name means to you. Children or young people, you don't just tell them, well, I'm Joe. No, you include your last name with that. And children, your family name, your real family name is Christian. And God is your father. He's the best of all fathers. But our identity is with God, not with the world. And so the Lord uses the Sabbath. He uses the means of grace. He uses the sacraments to sanctify us, to set us apart. Why would God do that? Why would at least a good school, where they have a playground for children, have a chain link fence around it? Is that fence to destroy their fun? Or is that fence to keep them safe from the road or from the world? God has placed a fence around us. He sanctified us because He loves us. That's what the Ten Commandments are about, God's love to us. That's what we find in our text as well. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine pleasure, my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. Do you delight in God? Or is the Sabbath day just a day to be endured and wait for it to be over with? Is the Sabbath really a delight? And you can show that. You can show that in a worship service by what you do or by what you don't do. Do you listen to the Word of God? Or is your mind 1,000 miles away? Do you gather together with the Lord's people and hear the Word? Not just listen to a man speaking. Do you hear God speaking? But lastly, by resting in Christ. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. That I rest from my evil works? We are confessing members of Christ's church. We have confessed our sins. We confess that we trust in Christ. We are living lives of gratitude. How does our instructor dare to address us as a church that I cease from my evil works? Do you and I have evil works? As we go through the Ten Commandments, are we those that willfully break any of those commandments? I would hope not. What then are evil works? Evil works is what many would suppose to be good. Evil works would be having a list, in our mind at least, and go through it, how wonderfully I've kept the Sabbath day. We can point a finger at other churches and say, well, they don't go to church twice on Sunday. We do, and I do this, and I do that. Beloved, that is not the Christian Sabbath. Those are evil works, putting a feather in our hat how good we keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not for that. It is to rest in Christ. It's to confess our sins. Could it be that's why most churches don't have the Ten Commandments read every Sunday morning? And sermons? At least 10 Lord's Days on the law of God, because it points out our sin? Later on in Isaiah chapter 64, he makes this astounding statement. He includes himself in it. We are all, he says, as an unclean thing, and our righteousness as a filthy rag. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Do you dare say that about yourself? I am as an unclean thing. I am as a filthy rag before a holy God. Because, beloved, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a God who will by no means clear the guilty. In Psalm 5, verse 5, it says, He hates all workers of iniquity. And there's only one way that we might and we must find acceptance with God. It is through resting in Christ's finished work. That's something that much of the church does not talk about this day. The imputation of Christ's righteousness. Beloved, there's our good works. What Christ has done, literally done, in his 33 years on earth, from the time he was born to the time he gave up the ghost. He lived in total perfection, every jot and every tittle of the law of God. And if we have any hope of heaven, that and that alone must be our righteousness. That must be our standing before a holy God. This white robe righteousness that the saints have on is not of their own. It's nothing to do with their good works. Because Isaiah says we're all as an unclean thing. But are you trusting on the Sabbath day in the finished work of Christ? Resting in Christ. So the Sabbath, as we close, it's a vehicle for us. We put on the spectacles of Scripture, particularly on the Sabbath. We come under the official proclamation of the gospel, and our focus is on Emmanuel's fair land. We have a glimpse of life eternal on the Sabbath day. And to make a final application, if we would ask people in the world, in the church, if they have the hope of heaven, probably most of them would say yes. Somehow they're going to get to this place that they think is called heaven. How they're going to get there, they know not. But what heaven is that we might see the glory of Christ. John 17, Father, I will that those that thou hast given unto me shall be with me where I am, and that they might behold my glory. If it is not our desire to see the glory of Christ on the Sabbath day, if you have to be dragged to church by parents, whether you're under a teenager or over being a teen, if you have to be dragged to church, do you really think you'll have a place in heaven? Do you think you'll be comfortable being surrounded by the Lord's people who really believe and exercise, I believe, in the community of the saints? Are you going to be comfortable with these people that are praising the Lamb, or are you going to be looking for an exit door? Well, of course, you won't have to look for an exit door, because you'll never see the entrance door. If Christ is not our desire now, on the Sabbath day, He will not be our desire in eternity. You will hear the words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." May it be then that we would call the Sabbath a delight, not because of the day itself, but because of what transpires on that day. Amen. Our Father and our God, which art in heaven, we do give thee thanks for the Sabbath day, the holy day of the Lord. And Lord, we must confess that each one of us, we have sinned against this fourth commandment as well. So often we do not, even as children, pay attention in church, or as young people or adults. Our minds can wander. And Lord, if we're honest, the Sabbath can be a drudgery to us at times. But we do pray that Thou would forgive us and have mercy upon us and grant us that we might know what it is to keep the Sabbath day holy, to keep it separate. We pray too, Lord, that Thou will be with Elder Dan Muir as he goes week by week into the prison system to bring the Word of God. May he go there with fear and trembling. May he realize that what he is doing there is going to separate these men. That as he leaves, they are either going to be closer unto thee or driven further away. And grant him then, Lord, a passion for thy truth. And grant him a burden for lost souls to bring the gospel. Seal thy word to our hearts now, and bless us the remainder of this day. For we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.